Seemed like ever since Sunday school, the Lord's just been confirming this message. Sharon sings those songs, and that kind of goes along with the message. And Luke chapter 10, let's look at verse 17 through verse 20. When you get there, let's stand in honor and reverence of God's word. Amen. Thank you for being faithful. We got a lot of folks out sick today. We got a lot of folks, got some folks traveling, but thank God for you that's here. Amen. Thank God. Hopefully those that's homesick are utilizing the Facebook, YouTube, and they're able to watch the service and feel the presence of God. Ain't nothing like being here. Amen. Ain't nothing like being here. But thank God we got those things that they can utilize. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. God, we love you, and we come to you in Jesus' name. And God, I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us, the Lord, to do the very best that we can to preach this message, God, in a way that you'd be pleased, Lord. God, I pray, God, you touch each and every one here. God, encourage us through your word today. And God, whatever's done, we'll make sure Jesus is high and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many's had a tough week? How many's had some hard times over the last several days? Amen. We all have. Somebody made mention in Sunday school this morning. Let's pray for Emmanuel Church over on 200. Five deaths in the last few days. Can you imagine? I know how it's been here, Wes, at times when we come into God's house and in the next week we lose three or four in about a matter of 2 weeks, and it seems like it just kind of puts a damper on everything. And if we're not careful, having a bad week can do that. We come into God's house and we sit there and we think, well, it's just been tough. I'm just going to go to God's house and I'm just going to be there and I'm going to be encouraged by the word. I'm going to be encouraged by the choir. But I'm really not having a good week. I know I'm saved, but it seems like everything just, sometimes if we ain't careful, we get that Eeyore kind of attitude where the dark clouds just following us all over the place. Well, I ain't got no reason to rejoice. There ain't nothing going on good at my house. Well, I'm going to preach to you this morning that you do have a reason to rejoice. Amen. If I was going to tell it, let's just praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just praise. I want you to notice a few things. When we look at this text, they come back and this is the 70 he sent out, not the 12. So these 70 comes back, Brother Robert, and they're ecstatic. They are shouting. They're saying, Lord, even the demons at your name is subject unto us. And then Jesus goes on, Jesus said, I gave you power over serpents and scorpions, and I gave you power over the enemy, that nothing could hurt you. I gave you power over the demons, that you could cast them out. And then Jesus says this, but don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I'm glad Jesus said that, amen? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Most Christians will never come in contact with a demon. Most Christians will never come in contact with a satanic spirit that you have to pray and cast out. Most people have never done that in their life, amen? Most people have never had to lay hands on somebody and they get healed on the spot, amen? I'm glad Jesus said that. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of times that I don't think my faith's strong enough to do some of those things. But glory to God, I know that my name is written in heaven, amen. There's not a doubt in my mind. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're here today and you're saved, if you're here today and your name is written in heaven, you might not never cast out a demon, but that ain't no reason to shout. You might not never lay your hands on somebody and they get healed from a traumatic disease. You might not never be able to do the great wonders that a lot of people have done over the years. But glory to God, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and your name is written in heaven, you got a reason to rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. So some of y'all need to wipe that frown off your face. You need to put a smile where it is, because you realize that your name is written in the Lamb. But hey, you might not be having a good week so far, but you don't never know what God's going to do this week coming. Amen. Salvation is your reason to praise. Salvation is your reason to pray. Let me tell you something. Salvation is a little bit more than just a get out of hell free card. Amen. I've told you this before. When I got saved, I was sitting on that pew. That preacher was preaching, Brother Tommy. He preached on hell, and I didn't want to go to hell. And that was the reason I went to that altar, because I didn't want to go to hell. But glory to God, look what he's done since I got saved. How good's God been to you since you got saved? How good God been to you since you got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? John chapter 1, verse 3 says this, Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. My God, you ain't even seen nothing yet. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. There is a relationship. When you got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there became a relationship between you and the Heavenly Father. Amen. This past Friday, I got a chance to go down to my mom and dad, Brother Robert. My mom and dad and me and my brothers and Juwan, we were sitting around a table fellowshipping. Do y'all realize you have access to God just like that? The Bible tells us that there was an adoption that took place in Galatians chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians. When we are saved, let me tell you something. Everybody says this, well, I chose Jesus. No, you didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose you. Amen. And you ain't never found Jesus, because he ain't never been lost. You were the one that was lost. You were the one he went out and found. He loved you enough that he said, I'm going to love David. I'm going to adopt David. Amen. I ain't got time to get on this, but I'm going to hit this for just a little bit. You can't help the children that you do have. Amen. Brother Robert got two boys. He loved them two boys. I mean, more than life itself. I've got two kids, and I love those two kids more than life. But when somebody says, I'm going to go out and adopt a child, you choose that child. That child ain't got nothing to do with it. You make the choice to take that child and bring that child into your family. And when those adoption papers are signed, that child's got just as many rights. Somebody ought to shout right there. That child's got just as many rights as a natural born child. You know what that means? That means whatever Jesus has got access to, I got access to, glory to God. Because I've been adopted into the family of God, glory to God. There is an adoption. That also means there's access. The Bible says that you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace. Some of y'all sitting here this morning with your lips all drawn out, ain't happy about nothing. Can't get a smile on your face because you had a bad week. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. That's your fault. Because you got access to the same God I got access to. You got access to the same throne I got access to. You're not getting help this morning because you ain't went boldly to the throne of grace. I'm just telling you, folks, there is access, because I'm telling you, understand this. If I need something from my daddy, Brother Robert, all I got to do is call. We got reasons to rejoice this morning. We have reasons to rejoice. Not only that, but there's also a renewal. When a person comes to Jesus Christ, to salvation, we're made brand new. The old man is dead. Now and then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me, how I been? What's on my mind? They wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. There was a change that took place when I got saved. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins, the uncircumcision of your faith, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Do you know what that means? Brother Ronnie, everything you did before you came to him and got saved, glory, all that's gone. Hey, never to be remembered again. You might bring it up. The devil might bring it up, but you'll never have to worry about Jesus bringing it up again because the old man is dead. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Glory to God. There is a renewal, but also there's a reward. According to Romans chapter 8, Titus chapter 3, every child of God is an heir to everything that God's got. I told you, I remember one time, one of my favorite songs was Teddy Huffam in the Gyms. He's gone on to be with God. He sung that song, My Father Owns a Cattle on a Thousand Hills, and I believe I own at least one, amen. I will never forget it. We was riding in the car one day, Jackie, and Blake was singing that song in the back of the van, I believe it was. And Blake said, My Father Owns a Cattle on a Thousand Hills. I believe I own each one. My God, that's a better rendition of that song than Teddy Huffam had, amen. That means if God's got it, I got access to it. We all heard those songs that God bankrupted heaven just for you. He gave the very best that heaven had just for you. He gave the very best that was up there just for you. And his name is Jesus Christ. And you got access this morning. Amen. There is a reward for salvation. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. He has not even entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for us. We need to rejoice this morning because we are saved, amen. No other reason than that. We're saved. And a lot of times we talk about getting saved, and we forget everything that goes along with it. There's going to be a rescue. Oh, this ain't it. Some of y'all just tickled to death about your house. Let me tell you something. What we got in heaven can't compare. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, we all just living in the big earth trailer park right now. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the big earth trailer park, because one of these days the Bible says that the heavens are going to split open. Jesus is going to come back, step out on a cloud, and call us all home, glory to God. And what you got down here cannot compare to what we got up there. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a rescue. He's calling us out of here, amen. So go ahead and praise the Lord. Let me just read it. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself, he ain't sending Peter, and he ain't sending Paul. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to be with the Lord forever, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Not because you cast out a demon. Not because you laid hands on somebody and prayed. Not because you gave all the money to the poor. It's because your name is written in heaven. That's the only reason that you'll be called out of here. There's also going to be a reason to praise is your security. Amen. The Bible tells us, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for grace. Amen. Thank God for grace. As I was studying and thinking about this message, the Bible tells us and in Psalms chapter 32, verse 5, for I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest all the iniquity of my sin. Psalms 51, verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. One of the best quotes I ever heard, somebody sent it to me this past week. It said, when God put a calling on your life, he already factored in your stupidity. Somebody ought to shout right there. When God saved you, he already factored in your stupidity. When God saved you, he knew you weren't going to be perfect. He knew you couldn't live it by yourself. He knew there were going to be days you fall on your face. But glory to God. Hey, 1 John 1, 9 said, when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't get saved multiple times. You only get saved one time, amen. But I'm telling you right now, there is a security. I don't wake up in the morning worrying about if I'm going to heaven or hell. I know I'm going to heaven. There is a security. That's a reason to shout. It's a reason to rejoice, amen. But there's also going to be a satisfaction. If being saved ain't cutting it for you, being secure ain't cutting it for you, how about the thought of heaven? Amen. Is that enough to make you happy? Think about heaven, amen. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's the difference between heaven and hell. There ain't no other difference between heaven and hell. It's salvation. It's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only difference between heaven and hell. It ain't how much money you give. It ain't how many times you've joined the church. You can be baptized till the fish know you by name, and that ain't going to cut it. But glory to God, I'm telling you right now, when it comes time for the rapture, heaven and hell, that's going to be it. Eternity in heaven or hell, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is there, you have a reason to rejoice. But when we also think about heaven, it means that everybody that we loved that was trusting in the Lord is going to be there waiting on us. I've heard David and Chucky talking about in Sunday school about some of the older folks that they knew over at High Point that's gone on to be with the Lord. And I think about Miss Annie Mae Davis. I think about Miss Mamie Snipes. And I think about some of these old saints of God and some of these old preachers that's gone on to be with the Lord. I'm telling you right now, they were trusting in the same God I'm trusting in. And they've got their reward. Amen. I believe with all my heart, the Bible says we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I believe with all my heart, some of these old preachers are shouting it out right now with Jesus. Amen. I believe with all my heart, some of these old saints of God that's already gone, they're shouting it out right now. They are rejoicing. This is the quietest world you're going to ever live in. We can go to a ball game and have a fit. We can go to all these things. You can go to a concert and raise the roof and have a fit. But we come to God's house and ain't got no reason to rejoice. I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ done a whole lot for me than anybody, any singing group. Jesus had done a whole lot for me than any kind of sporting event. Glory to God. Jesus had done a whole lot more for me than Clemson or Carolina or anybody else in your life. So we ought to be able to come into God's house and rejoice. Even now, I didn't come this morning to pick on Clemson or Carolina, okay? But I remember times when Carolina just sucked. I remember times when Clemson just sucked. Amen? I'm talking about just awful. Well, Gavin, you still got that shirt on. Wes, you still got them shirts, don't you? Benji, you still got them orange shirts. Just because they were having a bad time didn't mean that you didn't go and cheer them on. And sometimes we come into God's house. Let me go ahead and tell you what. Jesus ain't having a bad day. Jesus ain't never had a bad day since Calvary. Amen. He ain't sick. He ain't got COVID. He ain't sitting up there on the throne with a mask on. He ain't got alcohol sitting all around the throne. Glory to God. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, everything's all right in heaven. And you and I ought to be able to come to God's house and realize I got a reason to rejoice because that's the place that I'm going. All of heaven is ours. You got to understand that. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 4, no more tears. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 4, no more death. Revelation 21, verse 4, no more sorrow. Revelation 21, verse 4, 24, no more pain. Revelation 21, verse 8, no more sin. Revelation 21, verse 8, no more sinners. Revelation 21, verse 22, no more temple. Revelation 21, verse 23, no more sun. Revelation 21, verse 25, no more night. Revelation 23, verse 3, no more curse. But that's all the negative. Let's look at what's going to be there. God is going to be there with his people. Revelation 21, verse 3. That means you and I are going to get to see him, be with him, fellowship with him. The Bible says they're going to be jasper walls. The Bible says they're going to be gates of pearl. The Bible says the streets are made of pure gold. The Bible says the redeemed are going to be there. That's you and I. The Bible says the glory of God is going to be there. The Bible says it's a place that you and I can call home. I'm speaking to somebody right now. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, that's what we're talking about, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. In other words, hey, this here earthly trailer park you and I are living in, ain't got, hey, he's a carpenter, David. He's been working on it for 2,000 years. Can you imagine how good it's going to be? And the only access you have is your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what about casting out demons? Jesus said, in the latter days, there are going to be people that stand before him and say, Lord, in thy name we've done many wonderful works. In thy name we have cast out devils. And he'll say, depart from me. That ain't cutting it. Being a good person don't cut it. Grandma and granddaddy being church members don't cut it. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a reason to rejoice this morning? I want you to bow your heads. All right, choir.